May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It's good to be home. And I must say, we had witness this morning in the final beach service on the windswept beach of what a hearty flock we have, because a good number gathered and sang and shivered and gave testimony to our faith and our love. These days are all kinds of days of stories and remembrance. Our Islamic sisters and brothers have just completed the long feast fast of Ramadan. And our Jewish sisters and brothers have had Rosh Hashanah and now come up in this week to Yom Kippur. And of course, we have all remembered and humbled and prayed in the memory of 9/11. And yet there's another day that's marked on the calendar, and I don't know if many of you noted it, but it was on mine, that today is Grandparents' Day. Now, we expect due deference because of that, but I don't think it gets much billing or attention. But I was thinking about the place of grandparents, and I guess I'm the most grandparent-y of our staff, aren't I, David? And thinking about the role of grandparents is also with a story to tell and with the stories. And we, in a sense, are the preservers of a tradition to be passed on. And several years ago, one of my grandsons called me up and said, "Grandpa, how do you want to be remembered?" And I thought, well, I think just a good grandpa. And his mother thought, "I thought you'd just want to be remembered as a good preacher." But you preach by how you live. And I wanted him and them to remember how we live and that the story is in our lives. I remember to this day standing in the home of my grandparents. We'd finished breakfast, and my grandparents always got down on their knees and had prayers at the table after the meal. And my grandfather, who had been very active in the life of the church for many, many years, turned to me and said, "I hope you don't go into the ministry." And I've remembered that this day. Of course, my mother said the same thing. And I think it was like Frederick Buechner when he went to his grandmother and said he was going to the ministry. And she said, "Was that your own idea or were you just badly informed?" But if we live a way that's going to challenge and open us up, why would we not want to tell and encourage a story that encourages life? When Moses was gathered with the Israelites in the wilderness and they were going into that wilderness and they were facing a time of stress and demand, God spoke to them and said, "I set before you," and he listed it out, but it's an issue of choosing life or choosing death. Do we go in and to embrace life? We go into a wilderness. And do we go into it with a story that can carry us through the wilderness, or are we shrinking before it in a way that doesn't inspire? In other words, what in our time, theologically and politically, are we perpetrating a wisdom and courage, as Fosdick said, for the living of these days? It's a complex time, and slogans are not solutions. We can't have easy answers. And in what we express and the way we live, are we perpetrating doubt or dedication? Are we helping the generation around us to engage or giving ways of escape? Is it insight or illusion that calls us to faith and to live? So we've got three texts. I didn't have the one Jeremiah read, but Jeremiah is a prophet of our time. He lived what he wrote and wrote what he lived and had amazing insight, challenged as he was, to see the world fall apart. But he wasn't destroyed. He just had to rethink that God doesn't deliver this on easy terms. God calls us in a way that we see how he's working it out in and through us and gives us the courage to face it. So we don't say, why me? Say, why and how can we respond and be caught up in the possibilities of seeing God working out his purposes in our lives and in our time, and that we are part of the hand of the potter on the clay, molding the vessels that will bring to world and to our time the oil for healing of nations and of the land. And then we have this wonderful story of Jesus, as all of them are, and how he so skillfully would meet the people when they, as they came, the Pharisees and those leaders were criticizing him because he kept bad company. I think we would be disgraced if we don't keep questionable company. We aren't doing our work. We need to be, and they came to Jesus and said, you know, you don't set a good standard for us. And Jesus said, well, let me tell you some stories, as he always did, and those parables that are so rich. And this two that were read this morning, one about the lost sheep. That's a one I'm sure probably many of you have pictures of and remember and insight into it. And then the lost coin of the woman searching her house, and then the lost son. But all of these were tragedy turned into triumph because they transformed and helped people find new community, and it was always rejoicing. They were brought into place. So these parables are really about a shepherd who wouldn't give up, of a woman who didn't despair, and of a father who had infinite and eternal love. And they would saw in all of these, in the flock and in the family and in the all that they had, something precious and special and needed to be preserved. And that God is seeking to bring and unite us together and always calling us that when as his purposes work, then we rejoice because there is joy and joy in the part of how we live and where we live and how we go about it. And then Paul, what an amazing thing to be able to confess and say, what a reprobate was I. But he said, God forgave me because I didn't know and Christ was here. And how infinite grace, you want to read that one over, because he just felt bathed in grace, and he was so gratified that he couldn't resist the call, and all the trials and temptations, all the stress that he went through, did not overcome, but he overcame by his confidence that God was leading him, and he had joy in telling the story, in being the story, in living the story. And so, in our time, what's the storyline we live by and with? What do you live with? You know, I think part of it is, it's like Babel. You remember Babel? Hello? You know, It's the people who really wanted to outdo God. And so they went to work on it. And you know, if you want to outdo God, it doesn't work. You can't take over. The job's taken. And so he, when they were doing their thing, they couldn't understand each other. They couldn't hear each other. They couldn't listen. And things fell apart. And then on the other side of that, we have the story of Pentecost, where the people who seemingly didn't understand found unity and community. And in our time, I think we got an awful lot of Babel. you can't turn on a television or pick up a paper or talk to others where there isn't much of it. And yet there is also the pervasive wind of a Pentecost blowing across our time with amazing issues in individuals and stories of confidence and hope. But in terms of Babel, did you read an article in Harper's in July by Fred Kaufman on the food bubble? And he told the story of how Wall Street cornered the wheat market and made millions starve. Where's our morality? Or did you read in The New Yorker for August 30th the article by Jane Mayer on covert operations? And this is a carefully researched article, how David and Charles Koch, of amazing and massive wealth, have blessed New York's cultural life and even some of its medical life with phenomenal gifts. But this one of the biggest corporations or wealths in America have also put millions of dollars to fund a libertarian view of politics that covertly have set up think tanks, programs, and funded individuals, including the Tea Party, but trying to keep their hands off it, to criticize and destroy two presidents and to set up programs that would work against the struggle of a government and a people to have institutions, Social Security, medical care, who are indifferent to anything but their own interests and their own advantage and their own wealth. This needs to be faced. And it makes us think also in do we have a democracy or are we in an oligarchy? What does it mean when it's money that determines who runs and it's money who determines who rules? Where is democracy if the voice of the people can be bought off and the people could be made fearful by the issues that are misrepresented, misinterpreted, and misinformed? How do we face this? Where is our courage as a people to express life, to have a story of life? I think one of the best issues of that, in terms of speaking to it, was in Nicholas Kristof's article on Thursday in the New York Times. Perhaps you saw it. If you didn't, go back and look it up. He told about two Jewish women who were pregnant and widowed on 9/11. And in their sorrow, they met one another. And in their sorrow, they realized that we're not the only ones suffering. Think of the widows and orphans of Afghanistan. And they don't have the support we do. And so in this, Susan Reddick was in Boston last week speaking to an Islamic community about gaining help so that they can work for the education and the nurture of women, because they feel very confidently that the future of Afghanistan is in supporting the women and children so that they have hope and they have possibility and they have agencies and instruments of care. What an amazing triumph of grace when people of different persuasion and great suffering realize that the divisions of political and religious are stripped away when we confront the sorrow of our identity of one people. May there be more of this. And there is. There's a lot of it. There's much of it around. We could spend a lot of time talking about that. And I trust some of you read in the August 8th report of the 10 workers from IAM, the International Assistance Mission in Afghanistan. This is a place that for many years has worked in the restoration of sight for people in Afghanistan where they have particular sight problems. I've been to that hospital. I've seen and know some of the people who have worked in it. And I was a part of preparing Dan Terry, who was a son of missionaries, to work there. And he worked there for the last 30 years. And he and his wife were candidates that I helped get into that area of service. But Dan was killed. They'd stayed there 30 years through all the immeasurable struggles of Afghanistan. And then the families of 5 out of the 8 people who were of the eight people had their remains of their family buried there because they believe there is a future. The head of the mission said, "We're devastated, but we're not destroyed." That's right out of the gospel. Because they came to bring sight to a people where the sightless destroyed them. But they did not destroy the determination of what's before them. And then there's another wonderful word that came in terms of hope and life of a book that came out recently. And David, I think it's got to be on our list. And this is called Hunger and Happiness, Feed the Hungry and Nourish Our Souls by Shannon Young. And it really is an exercise in developing Christian spirituality, facing penance, and understanding moving from our material consumerism to spiritual communion. And this is a book that's a must. He's done 3 books. This is the trilogy of it. And it talks about how we face issues of reality, of hunger, of life, and of spirit, woven together, bringing us insights that will help us move beyond anything we understood before, and giving us, and look for these things. There are many places and people who, when the institutions fail us, individuals and communities of faith are forging away. Martin Luther King said in one of his great statements, "The church should be the headlight, not the taillight of the community." Now, when you think of the headlight, that's the one that pierces into the darkness, that can go into the wilderness, that can bring light to where one cannot see, and to move forth. And this is the church pioneering, as it has been and as it will for years to come. And then the taillight, you know, that just reflects caution and says, "Don't bump me." And how many times is we just don't want to get bumped into a new way of thinking. We don't want to get bumped into a new way of saying, "Hey, the world is passing you by." Bumped into an awareness that a lot of the structure that we had depended upon has fallen away, and the hand of God can work in and with us to bring up and build up something new. Can you imagine the students at Williams in 18-6, going to a haystack for a prayer meeting. How I love it. And then they said, you know, we've got a story. And we can't just take it from Williams to Boston. We got to share it in the world. And so they came to the congregational churches of Massachusetts and Connecticut and petitioned them. And so 200 years ago this month in Farmington, a little group of men, unfortunately, but that's the time. It was the women who did the work, I must say, but they gathered together, and Timothy Dwight was among them, and it's an impressive group. And they started the beginning of the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missionaries. And 5,000 people had been spread like seed into the world, doing things that you know about and you'll hear more about, but they're things that just leaven the life of the world across the world and across the time. And friends, that's a story that we can't lose and we can't live on. We must be inspired from, because we're called upon to be that story in our time where we live, politically, theologically, geologically, ecologically, however it may be, because we're called upon sincerely to get a new moral consciousness and spirit and imagination that can bring a story for our time. Alfred North Whitehead, that great philosopher, said, all existence is intertwined, and people personally and corporately are responsible for the common good. Friends, what a task we have. And you know, the more we get into it, the more the angels will sing in glory. And you know who those angels are that'll sing? They're with us. They're around us. Do you know your angels? Singing the glory of God. So we're called to live a story that inspires those children and grandchildren to say, I remember and I resolve. Amen.